We had a BCMB meetings this weekend, Friday and Saturday out in Chilliwack, and everything went well. One of the joking themes of the weekend was less drama, more mission. Does that make sense if you've been to a business meeting before? Less drama, more mission. And so we got the entire business agenda done in just under an hour, so it was just kind of like one of ours. It was just fantastic. I had the opportunity to sit with Tim from Pines Bible Camp. I met with him a couple times. We had lunch together one day, so we were talking about our team that's coming up and what we were expecting there. And so if you haven't registered yet and you want to, Glenn, are we past the deadline? Or is it like today? He was asking me, so how many are people coming? I'm going, and Glenn is going to let you know, like this weekend. So please, let Glenn know. Looking forward to being up there with him. Tomorrow, I'm going to be in Sumas, Washington at Cedar Springs. I'm part of the Multiply Board, and we've got 3 days of board meetings down there. Multiply is the international missions arm of both the Canadian Conference of MB Churches and the U.S. Conference of MB Churches. So the board actually has two owners, and so sometimes different owners want different things. And so there's always the that sensitivity of working through challenges of an international organization like that. So if you think of us tomorrow, tomorrow through Wednesday noon, please pray for the Multiply Board. A little bit of context for today, and then also for the next number of weeks that we're going to be spending together. At our AGM on March 9th, we took some time to understand a little bit of the life cycle of our church. You'll remember that bell curve graph that I showed you, and then to particularly understand our current moment within the life cycle of the church and the projections of where we see ourselves going. We talked about the positive momentum of Mountain Park, and I laid out a short outline of how we move forward into what we believe will be our season of strategic growth going forward from here. And there were three elements that we talked about on that Sunday. There were capacity, staffing, and facilities. Those are three issues that we're going to have to deal with over the next number of years. And so over the next month, we want to address each of those three on a Sunday. So today we're going to talk about capacity. May 11th, we're going to talk about staffing. And on May 25th, we're going to talk about facilities. So we will likely have tables like this each time because we want some discussion around the tables and prayer. We want to give a chance for you to give some feedback, but we won't always have lunch every Sunday, just to warn you that that is just for today. And what we want to do is to present the current thinking of various leadership teams that are working in these three areas. And we want to come to you with some recommendations, things that we would like you to discuss. We want to hear feedback from you. We want to spend time around the tables praying together, and that we discern our path forward in community. We do this together. So this morning, we're going to begin with a discussion about our current capacity. And in a few minutes, I'm going to give some updates of about the things that we've learned about our capacity over the last 2 months since our AGM, some updates, some things we're doing. We'll share a couple of recommendations. And then again, we'll take some time to talk about these things. We want to hear from you. Are there questions that you have? And then we'll take some time to pray together. And let me just remind you that today's discussion about capacity, this is about how do we bridge from our current moment to give us the capacity to deal with long-term staffing and long-term facilities. So we're not going to talk about staffing today. We're not going to talk about facilities today. Our question today is, how do we bridge these next 6 to 12 months, if you will? We're not talking about our long-term plan. We're talking about a plan that gets us to our long-term plan. How do we create capacity for current ministry, giving us time to consider staffing and facilities? So that's where we're going today. And in preparation for our discussion this morning, I want to take you to a couple of scriptures, but I want to share a perspective on scripture that has been helpful to me over the last number of weeks. I was listening to a podcast recently from John Mark Comer, and he identified different genres of literature, different ways of writing plot into story and into movies, and he spoke particularly about two of these, and he made a connection to how we read Scripture, and he said, isn't it interesting how we read Scripture according to different kinds of plots? And I found that to be a really helpful insight, and so I'm going to borrow from him this morning, and I want to adapt what he said for our discussions over the next 5 weeks. How do we actually read the plot that we're living into right now? And so what I'm about to say is not a lecture on literature or movies or plot development. If you are educated in those things, you will see how uneducated I am in these things. My purpose is not to be accurate about plot development, those kind of things. My purpose is to help create an analogy so that we can create look at how we understand Scripture, because again, I found this really helpful. So the first genre, I'm going to call it plot resolution. There's not really a genre called that, but that's what I'm calling it. And this is what we see in most action hero movies. Plot resolution has very little to do with the character development of the people in the story. It's about the plot, and the plot changes with every movie. In every movie, Captain America wears the same blue tights. You may have a different Captain America every movie, but he's still wearing the same stuff and he's still got the same shield, because it's not about him changing. It's not about his development. It's about the story. And the story is about some new evil threat to take over the world, some, quote, plot to take over the universe. But you know that in the end of the movie, the evil villain is defeated, the plot is resolved, and the heroes win. That's plot resolution. Basically, this is called feel-good escapism. It's also called a commercial plot because it sells in theaters. We want the good guys to win. We want the adversity to be overcome by the end of the story. Now, we may not know how the evil will be overcome, but you know the good guys are going to win in the end. And we like that, because we want that to be the way our lives work. How nice for at least a few hours to escape into a world where you know everything's going to turn out in the end. So that's a plot resolution story. The second genre I want to call character formation. And in this narrative, the movie is all about the highs and the lows, the pressures that shape a person on the inside. What's going on inside this person? And the character will grow and change, sometimes by facing success, sometimes by facing adversity, sometimes by facing sickness, sometimes by facing injustice. And whatever the storyline is really doesn't matter, because it's simply the setting for what's going on inside of the character. And so in this genre, interestingly, the tensions of the movie do not have to be resolved by the end of the movie, because characters have to live with unresolved tension and pain. That's life. The story is about how the character changes in the face of stress and pressure and adversity. Now, in biblical terms, we would call this second genre spiritual formation. James chapter 1, verse 2, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet plots, if I will, of various kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. So trials do not have to be resolved in order for us to grow. Melissa and I are going to go this afternoon to visit my brother. My brother has a severe and very painful form of Parkinson's disease. He's 1 year older than me. And earlier this month, he was moved into an assisted living complex because my sister-in-law can no longer care for him on her own. And we have prayed many times for healing, or at least for release from chronic acute pain. Now, in a plot narrative, we would expect God to step in and do something, to remove the adversity. And so we come together and we pray for healing. I ask the elders of my brother's church to come with me and some of his close friends that we grew up with together, and we joined together at the hospital bed, and we anointed him with oil, and we prayed for healing. And in the plot narrative, if God doesn't heal, there's something wrong with God. We question a God who's not able to overcome the evil villain. What kind of a hero doesn't win in the end? And so it creates a crisis of faith because the plot isn't turning out the way we want it to. But in a formation narrative, God doesn't have to heal. Spiritual formation does not require that the adversity is resolved by the end of the movie. Now, I want to be clear here that there is a plot in Scripture. The plot of Scripture is a plot resolution narrative. In other words, Christ does defeat sickness and death. He does overcome the evil enemy, but again, it's not until the end of the movie. It's not until Christ returns. And everything up until that moment is a formation narrative that we live into. Our lives are a series of formation narratives in one grand plot where Christ will overcome in the final chapter. And so the human plot has always been about characters learning to trust God even when adversities persist. Romans 8 speaks to this. It's a famous verse that is so easily turned into a plot narrative. Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, that's us, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. So when you read that verse, do you see a plot development promise? Or do you see a character formation promise? Is this a promise that for those who love God, he will overcome everything, every adversity that we face? It'll turn out just fine. Now, to answer that question, all you have to do is look at the very next verse. That those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Put those two verses together. God works all things together for good, that we would be conformed to the image of his Son. God works all things into a formation story. And in the narrative of Scripture, the formation story always takes precedence over the plot narrative. And that's a really important thing for us to understand. The formation story always takes precedence over the plot narrative. This is true for us as individuals. It is true for the enduring narrative of Israel going through season after season of rebellion, discipline, formation, rebellion again, discipline, formation. It's all about the formation of the nation of Israel. And that's the same for the church. The church's story is always a formation narrative. What is God doing in the church? What is God doing in the lives of the people in the church? Now, this is not to say or suggest in any way that God does not give good gifts or that God does not answer prayer. That's not it at all. It's not to say that he doesn't answer the very desires of our hearts. Often he'll answer in ways that are beyond what we could ask or imagine, and he's done that. But even then, we need to remember that this is a formation moment for us. How do we respond when we get the desires of our heart? What will we do with the answers to our prayer? In all things, God will do what is best for our formation, that we would be his kingdom people. And so, as we tell our story this morning, and again over the next number of weeks, as we review the things that God is doing for us, We are going to pray for a positive plot. We want to pray for a building. We want to pray for staffing. We want God to answer these prayers. We want to pray for positive outcomes. I simply want to ask that we do not miss the primary story. Let's keep our eyes on how we are being formed in the context of the plot. That when God delays answers, is He still good? When God places hurdles in our path, how is He forming us? And when God provides us more than we could even ask or imagine, how does that form us? What has God been forming in you? And what has God been forming in our church over these past years? And how will we continue to discern what He's forming in us? And so with that, as a context both for today, for our discussion on staffing, for our discussion on facilities, let me enter into our conversation about capacity today and give you some updates on various aspects on our capacity. And what I want to do is just walk through different ministry areas of the church and to talk about how we're doing right now, especially in the last 2 months since our AGM. So let me start with children's ministry. As you know, Leanna stepped in to lead this ministry just over a year ago, and her commitment was a one-year commitment to cover maternity leave. Since that time, Leanna has agreed to extend her leadership, and she's giving us time, she's giving us capacity to plan for the bigger picture. And so right now, she's working on Vacation Bible Camp, and she is even prepared to lead us into the fall if needed. And so I'm so thankful for her and her commitment to our ministry. Under her leadership, our ministry is doing really well. We have new families coming with young children. Lots of energy, as you can see as they're leaving the room every Sunday. They're excited to be there every Sunday morning. And that tells you something about the leadership of the teams that are out there with our children. We have gifted teachers and leaders who have been serving since before I've come. The consistency that we have in our children's ministry team is a strength. We have nursery workers who love on our children, and we have a children's ministry team that's giving great leadership. And so I want to thank Leanna and her team, the leaders, the volunteers who are serving in these areas. And I hope you'll take some time, if not, well, yeah, this time this morning. They're out there right now, many of them, but when they come in, just encourage them and thank them for their leadership and for their ministry. What about youth ministry? Well, since I came to Mountain Park 7 years ago, we've had 3 paid youth staff. So when I came, Justin Furse was on staff. He soon graduated from Summit Bible College and took his first lead pastor position. Then we had a season without. Then Alyssa Roth led us through the season of COVID, and then we had a season without. And then Nick Scott came, and he was with us for just under 2 years, and now we're in our 3rd season without. And as much as we like to think that paid staff for youth ministry is one of the keys to stability, it's really not. The strength of stability has always been in the volunteer youth workers who have been with us, again, since before I've come. We have youth leaders who have been serving with us under all 3 of these paid staff positions and who continue to lead today. And I know there have been a number of leaders who have served, you know, for a season in youth ministry, but I want to acknowledge this morning 3 leaders who have, that I'm aware of, brought consistent leadership since before I arrived, and that's Jeremy, Andrew Dick, I don't know if Andrew's here this morning, and then Mike Borseth. When Nick resigned, I asked him, I said, who should I talk to? And I spoke with these leaders, and I said, you know, what do you need? How can I help you? And they basically said, hey, we've got this. We got it under control. So they have a plan to take us to the end of the school year. We have no urgent need to hire a youth pastor. We have the capacity and we have the need to serve the youth in our church in our current season. And so again, we have capacity based on the strength of people in the church who have been serving for many years already. Worship ministry was the area that I was most concerned with when Nick resigned. It's not what happens on the stage, because I have very little to do with that. It's the work during the week behind the scenes. It's the administration, the coordination, the scheduling. And Maureen Schmidt has stepped in and taken that task, that load off my desk. And not only that, but last week over Easter, you have seen how she's bringing some of her creative gifts to the team as well. And so, Maureen, I want to thank you, too, for stepping in and again, giving us capacity and bringing strengths and administrative leadership. But I also want to thank the worship leaders and the teams, guys like Travis and Ethan. We only have two sound people, and it's either Travis or Ethan every Sunday, on and off, on and off. And you may not notice this, but we only have two, and they're carrying the load. We have Travis and Ethan back there, and primarily we have James and Eddie leading worship. And between the two of them, we're able to cover 3 out of 4 Sundays on a consistent basis. And so their leadership, again, is giving us capacity. The other thing we're doing there is on the 4th Sundays, and sometimes there are 5th Sundays, we're doing what we're simply calling alternate Sundays. The next one of those is going to be on the May long weekend. So the alternate Sunday won't always be on the 4th or 5th Sunday of the month, but one Sunday of the month there will be something different. So the May long weekend, there's about 20 of us that will be at Pines Bible Camp that weekend. We also know already of a number of families who have said, hey, we're going to be away that weekend, the long weekend, totally understand. And so on that particular Sunday, we're going to move our worship service into the Baker Room. And we'll just work with the capacity that we have. What this does is it actually gives our setup teams a long weekend off, so that they actually have the option to come up to Pines and serve with us, or they have the option, like many of us do, to just be away for a long weekend. So it gives our setup teams a weekend off, it gives our sound and media, our tech teams the weekend off, and again, what we're doing is just working on capacity. So we're going to continue to with our worship services in this way. And frankly, in my opinion, we're not losing anything by having creativity and variety in how we meet. And I think as long as we're careful, we continue to have the capacity over this next season. I really think that capacity is all about volunteers. It's the church coming together that actually builds it. And so a perfect analogy of the body being made up of many parts, and every part has a role. And when we all step in, it really creates strength for us. And then I also want to address our area of administrative staff. Some of you will know that Carrie has been enrolled in a master's degree in counseling and spiritual formation. And she's getting ready this summer to begin an internship. And so I've asked Carrie if she would come and just give a little bit of an update on what's going on in her life.
Thank you. Public speaking isn't my thing, so I'll just be reading. I'm sure many of you knew already that I was in school, but less of you know that my husband has some challenging chronic health issues. I mention it now because throughout the first year of my program, he really carried the load at home and helped me be able to balance work and school. And but that was because, you know, his body was cooperating with him. Recently, his health has been declining, unfortunately, and he's able to do less and less. So, sorry, this is hard for me. Now it's my turn to support him. Over the past few months, I've come to recognize that the increasing demands of my family life and my upcoming practicum and the time that I work here is beginning to exceed my own capacity. And like many of us, I've had to face the hard truth that I can't do it all. So at this point, you may have figured out that I've made the difficult choice to resign here so that I can prioritize taking care of my family. It's emotional and it's hard for me because I really do love this place. I love this church and I love working here. And these aren't the circumstances that I would choose for my resignation. But I trust in God's timing and provision, both for my family and also for this church. I told Norm this already this week. but when I first started working here, I thought I'd work here for a year or two and then find something closer to my home, which is in Maple Ridge. But then working with Norm, your leadership and integrity just made it so easy to stay here year after year. And so 2 years turned into three, and 3 years turned into seven. but it's been a huge blessing for me to work with you. And Tommy emphatically encouraged me to share with you and the church how much you've significantly impacted my spiritual formation and how his witnessing of that has really strengthened his faith. So, I might be resigning from my staff role, but I'm not leaving Mountain Park. I still plan to attend here and hopefully serve in new ways once my capacity increases again.
I'll take it. Thanks, Kerry. So we are going to take time to pray, specifically for Kerry in a few moments as well. We're going to take time to pray around the tables. When Kerry shared that with me just a few weeks ago, pit of the stomach kind of, oh no, kind of feeling once again. We have a great staff. We just love serving together. We trust one another implicitly. But once again, listen to the formation story. Listen to what God is doing in her family and how she's responding to that. Listen to her story of calling to a new career in ministry using her gifts in different areas. And so this is a good thing. It's good that she can step forward, but even good things can be hard things. And we'll pray for Tommy as well. I'm sure she'll let us know when the time comes, but he has a significant surgery coming up in the next couple of months. They're waiting for a date, a surgery that involves, his neck. So just again, so you're aware, we've been updating her job description. We're going to post what will likely be a halftime position by the end of this week. I'll just get some details finished off there. And our goal will be to finish, to fill the position by the end of May. So in the next month, that's our goal, in 1 month to fill that position so that Kerry can train the person over the month of June. So we want some time of overlap before the summer. The summer is very light on administrative staff, so it's a good time for that person to be able to just find their way. This is one of the challenges that we will need to face together and pray about over the next couple of months. And that leads me to my own capacity. Some of you have been asking, so how am I doing in all this? And to be honest with you, I'm getting a little tired myself. When I came to Mountain Park 7 years ago, I pictured in my mind a really nice, tidy plot resolution narrative where everything turns out. And we all do this, coming in, taking in new challenges. I came in knowing that you know, I had about 8 to 10 years of full-time ministry left in me. I'm starting to age. It's starting to take its toll on me. But the church also had this 10-year window of a building facility. And when I met with the search committee and the leadership teams, I could see the challenges, but I could also see so much potential. And I was so eager to step in. And in my tidy little plot narrative, you know, the church would grow and we'd find a new facility and we hired good staff, and somewhere in the future I could retire knowing that, boy, job well done, they're set up for the future, and, you know, we're all good to go. And that's frankly still my hope. The challenge is that I find myself running out of energy right now. My tank is pretty low, and I've had to come to the point where I'm recognizing that I'm burning energy faster than I can fill the tank up. Some of you have experienced that before. This happened to me already once, about 15 months ago, December of 2023, and the elders and you provided me with a three-week break leading into Christmas, and that was very energizing. And that break gave me enough energy to lead for what ended up being another year before I started to experience that depletion again. And so I've been sharing this with the elders, and they met last week to talk about this, to try and address this. And I'm going to ask Daryl to come up and just speak to this need on behalf of the elders.
Thank you, Norm. Take a deep breath. Let it out slowly. How are we doing? Doing okay. Remember whose church this is. Do you think Jesus ever got tired? Well, that didn't take you long to respond. Yeah. Did he experience weariness? Exhaustion. Listen to what Mark records in chapter 6 of his gospel. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." Doesn't that sound like a good invitation? Sometimes full-time ministry gets busy, heavy, exhausting. And we don't think of Jesus necessarily of getting tired or weary, but he was human. Even he had physical limitations that required time to recharge both physically and spiritually. As we've heard, Norm has experienced a number of significant events recently that have added to an already full capacity. With our youth and worship pastor Nick resigning, now we've heard Carrie's story, and yes, the plan is to replace her, but as you can see, in addition to all the things that Norm carries on a day-to-day basis, these are heavy things and not easy to carry. I've been watching Norm for a number of weeks, not stalking him, watching him, and having conversations with him. Why? Because I've been here. I know what it feels like. I know what it is like to be tired, worn down by ministry, and yet feeling like you still need to keep going, still need to push through and get things done. And that's not helpful. It's not productive in the long term. So what is the loving thing to do? Well, we come alongside our pastor and offer support and a plan forward. And as an elder board, our job is to monitor the health of our staff, which is why we as elders have stepped in and are giving Norm a three-month sabbatical. June, July, and August. Now, to be fair, four of those weeks or so are Norm's holidays already, so it's really a two-month paid leave. Currently, our church does not have a sabbatical policy, but as elders entrusted with Norm's care, we are doing this for his well-being as well as for the benefit of our church. Now, this may seem rather surprising to some of you, and you may even be thinking, well, why do we need to do this? Well, here's why. Norm is our pastor. We love him, and we care for him. We want to give him the best opportunity to lead us through these next few years of transition, whatever that's going to look like, however long that's going to take, whatever God gives Norm the strength and energy to do. The bottom line is, we do want Norm to be around for a while yet. And if we don't allow him time now to heal, to rest, to renew, he won't make it much longer. As a former pastor myself, I want to say that I am proud of Norm for being willing to take the courage to share with us where he's at. It does take humility, and it takes trust. It's also an invitation for us to step in and help, and that is why we're giving him this time off. But please hear this. This is not just a three-month vacation, 4 weeks, yes, and he can do what he wants with those. No, this is a little bit more than that. It's a time off with the ultimate goal of renewal and strength to be able to continue in the ministry that God has called him to here at Mountain Park. So there are some things that we are asking of Norm during this time. And as we chatted yesterday on the way to convention, or on Friday on the way to convention, he had already been thinking of some of these, and so that was encouraging for me to hear. Things like seeking a spiritual advisor or a counselor to help him process where things are at, going on a personal retreat, journaling, reading some good books to refresh his soul. Again, all with the goal of healing and renewal. So what happens in these months that Norm is off? Do we shut down? Not a chance. I asked you at the beginning here, well, how are we doing? And some of you are nodding. We're okay. Yes. We will be getting some speakers lined up and making sure that the day-to-day needs of our church are still taken care of. So what can you do? First and foremost, and most importantly, we can pray. Pray for Norm, pray for us as elders, and pray for the overall well-being and health of our church. God's got this. This is no surprise to him. This is his church. He has called us to be part of it, and dare I say, we are God's, you know it, we are God's kingdom people. So in a few minutes, as Norm said, we're going to go into a time of prayer around our tables for Norm, for Carrie, and for the needs of our church. I do want to say, if you have any questions around this, please talk to a number of the elders I think are here this morning. I've seen a few of you, and we'd be happy to discuss things with you and any clarification that you need. But first and foremost, let's be in prayer for Norm and for the future of where we're going. So thank you.
Thanks, Daryl. I want to just remind you that our goal in this season of capacity is to create capacity in every ministry area, giving us the ability to navigate the staffing and the facilities challenges that are coming up. And so this sabbatical is simply that. It's simply one more bridge of restoring capacity. I really want to finish my tidy little narrative. I really desire to see that story come to an end. I think we should work towards it. I think God wants us to plan for good futures together. But I just know that without a break, I simply don't have it. I've been thinking of, you know, car races where they have to do a pit stop because they're running out of gas. And in some of them, I mean, they measure the gas just like right down to the last lap. And you may go, oh man, we miscalculated. And so you either drop out of the race or you have to do a pit stop. Like, those are your only choices. And so just to be honest, like I just feel like I don't have a choice. I haven't crashed and burned, but I know that it's coming if I'm not careful. And so I want to just thank the elders for stepping in and giving direction. So here's my thought, that my current formation narrative, in the context of the church's plot narrative, is that I need rest. That's my current narrative in the church's plot narrative. But it doesn't undo the church's plot narrative. It's just one more piece to give us capacity. We're doing everything as a leadership team that we can to respond to everything that we're facing today, trusting God for the plot unfolding tomorrow. And so that, in one or two or seven nutshells, is where we stand today. We've talked about capacity in each area. We're going to ask you in just a moment around your tables to pray for Carrie and for Tommy and for filling that staff position. Pray for the leadership of the church and for me during the sabbatical. And then we're going to take some time to talk about these things and pray around the tables. The question that we want you to answer is this. What do you want the elders to hear? What do you want the elders to hear about how we're handling capacity right now? What do you want the elders as leadership to hear about these things? Okay, so that's the question we're going to ask you, but that's not the question right now. Right now, the question is, before you get to that, is there anything that's unclear to you in what we just said about sabbatical, about carry, about worship ministry, about anything? Because we want you to be able to be clear before we ask you to discuss it. So if you have questions, let's take a moment right now and just talk about anything that's unclear. And then after that, we'll turn our attention to prayer and then responding to that question. Brian.
When is your sabbatical?
Oh, good question. Yeah, when is the sabbatical? So what the elders have suggested is that that I take June, July, and August. So in July and August, half of those weeks are vacation anyways. So it ends up being like a two-month sabbatical. The summer is the lightest time. And honestly, the timing is great because I'm going, you know, can I do May? I can do May. I really want to be here to talk about the staffing challenges our plan. I really want to be here to talk about facilities. But then after that, I think would be the appropriate time. So we're talking June 1st to the end of August. Thanks, Brian. Other details, questions? Okay, yes, I know. Will I be around? Yeah, will I be in hiding for 3 months? Yeah. Yeah. I don't think so. Like, I think when we're on vacation, you know, I'll you know, I may not be here, you know, every week. One of the things I'm feeling is that I really need relationships that aren't about the job. So I need you to be just my friends. And this is one of the just constant struggles of ministry is everyone in your church, even though you have relationship, there's always this other layer and it never goes away. And so I would like that layer to go away, but I don't want the relationships to go away. So I would like to, yeah, I want to be here. I want to worship. And frankly, whenever the day comes to retire, Melissa and I, our plan is like Carrie, we want to stay. You're our people. We're not, yeah, so I think this is not a sabbatical where I'm going away to get a break from the church, or, yeah, to me the relationships are important, and I've been thinking about that, and I think it would be good for me to be here, maybe not every Sunday, but, yeah, yes.
In your previous life, or previous job.
Yeah. Yeah, in my previous position, did I get a sabbatical? I did. Again, right at the 7-8 year mark. That's why they're called Sabbaths. It's the seven. It's the mark. I took 3 months in that position. Our sabbaticals were designed for professional development, but I didn't have it in me. I said to my boss, I cannot go away and keep working. And so I literally did 3 months of just spiritual formation, journaling, reading, and silence and solitude and being away by myself. And it was an amazing experience. And so that's what I have no plans to study church planting or church growth or anything. I just need to sit with the Lord and be renewed. They that wait on the Lord will be renewed, and that's all I need. I don't need any more training. I just need to be renewed.
So looking back, was it long enough?
Was the sabbatical long enough? Oh yes, yeah. I think so. I think so. Yeah, thanks. All right, good, yes.
I was surprised to hear that the sabbatical was not part of our church
history. Yeah, well, it is part of our church history, but somewhere along the way, somewhere before I came, that policy had been taken out. So we don't have a policy right now, and the elders have basically said, hey, we need to do this. If you as a congregation want us to write a new policy and have it approved 2 weeks from now, because we can't approve it today because it's a bylaw and you need 2 weeks to approve it, so we could say today, okay, we're going to announce, we're going to have a bylaw policy. If you want us to do that, we'll do that. We've got a month to figure this out. But you're right. I spoke with Terry yesterday, and you know, I told him that this is what we're planning on doing, I mean, he had, what was it, 17 years? Cam was here extended. They had sabbaticals. Like, they're good things. So, I mean, there were obviously some reasons that it were taken out. But yeah, so we're just moving forward. Yeah.